Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom, you know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about better ways to date as well as helping you through your bedroom conundrums. Topics include how to date with intention instead of just winging it, what to do when it seems like your partner prefers their vibrators to having sex with you, ways to get out of your head during sex so you can actually enjoy yourself, and everyone's favorite topic, squirting. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. Eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. We love when you subscribe to our podcast and comment on it wherever you listen to podcasts. We so appreciate it. You can also check me out 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, on Sirius XM Radio Stars Channel 109. I am there 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 East. And it's been amazing to reach so many more people, helping you out with your sex and relationship questions. If you want a free 30-day trial, visit sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can still call in during those times and ask your questions, 888-947-8277. And you can also find us on all social media at Sex with Emily. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. It's actually a compilation from some of our favorite moments on the Sirius show. So let us know what you think, and thanks for listening. It's been a great week of shows, huh, Jamie?
It has. It always is.
It always is, and I've been thinking a lot. I always do. I go home. You know, they say you shouldn't take your work home with you, but I can't help it. It's sex. It's love. It's dating. It's everywhere, even in my own life. But I was thinking that we've talked so much about sex, everything about sex, and love and all those things. And I was like, God, you know, it's kind of like they say this can be the breaking up, the dumping season. A lot of people end relationships right now around this time of year. Mm-hmm. I guess so. There's, all the time, though.
They're ending. They're starting.
They're starting because that's a cuffing season. Mm-hmm. Very confusing. But sometimes you don't want to deal with them over the holidays and you break up. But you might also be meeting someone new. And I thought what you guys don't know is that we talk a lot about dating apps, how to find someone, should you break up with someone on our podcast, mm-hmm. which I've been doing for a long time. So I thought, I was thinking about some of the things that we could talk about tonight about dating. Like, are you dating someone new? Are you dating a few people? I can help you with all that stuff. And so there are some top tips, and I'm like, I thought I haven't told you about these things yet that I believe are would be very helpful for you and that are helpful in all dating situations, which is not easy right now. I mean, it's not. I get it. Everyone always thinks wherever they live in the very worst town ever to date in. They like I, people always say that. Like they're like, when I was in San Francisco, they're like, oh God, it's the worst town. No, you know, like check your balls at the Golden Gate Bridge. Like just really like there's no men don't ask you out. And then in LA, everyone thinks the guys are like too into themselves and women just aren't available. Whatever, everyone has a story. And then New York, they say the same thing. And then if you live in the middle of the States, you're like, there's no one here. But I always believe, and I know this to be true, that first of all, wherever you go, there you are. So it's not like you have to move somewhere else and you're going to find that person. But there's single people anywhere, everywhere. In fact, there's more single people now on the planet.
Than ever.
Than ever before. So it's kind of a good time to be single.
I would say so.
And more ways to date and meet people.
It is.
Yes.
Technology.
And even technology. And people are like, oh God, I can't do the apps. Like I'm, because here's the thing about the apps. And we have a lot to say about that. But tonight I'm just going to focus on some basic dating stuff. But this is what I want to say about the apps. And definitely call me with your questions. If you have questions about them, 888-94-STARS. Is that if you're thinking to yourself, you know, I've been single for a while and I haven't met anyone, but I'm not going to do the apps because the apps, people just want to hook up. Or everyone's an asshole. It's not true. Like, we know ways to help you with that as well, and that I think it's a service to yourself. It's a numbers game.
It is. And I know plenty of people that have had actually, you know, success. Like, they are in love. They've gotten married. They've, you know.
So many babies. The whole thing. Like, there's whole lives that happen. So, there's still not that stigma. You don't have to whisper that I met someone online. So, I just want to say that. But first, starting about dating is that if you are dating right now, and you're like, you know, it's been challenging or I'm not sure. Like, have you done this yet? Have you really thought about yourself and what you actually want? Who are you as a person? What do you want out of life? What are your plans for your career? Like, who are you? Because the more we know about ourselves, then we know what do I want in a relationship? And then my next step is like, do you know what you want in a partner? Like, have you really thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's important to you? What are your deal breakers? And, you know, because I think that sometimes it's like when you go shopping and you're not really looking for anything in particular and you just end up like buying a bunch of stuff you don't need.
I do that all the time.
All the time. In fact, I'm starting to stop doing that. I'm like, I don't need anything. Like, I should just go home and try my clothes. Like, do I really need another pair of boots? But dating can get frustrating like that when you're like, I'm not really sure. So when you get clear, like you literally write it out. And there's some great books on it and great. I used to love this book. I used to recommend this, If the Buddha Dated. Because I thought it was cool because it made you really go deep and asked you all these questions down to like the superficial things, like they have to be this height and whatever, to like deeply in your soul, like how do you want to feel with this person? So define it however you want. Like just define it, but know that like get specific and then know like if someone's a smoker, like I'm out. If someone's not my religion, that's not going to work for me. Just things that you know.
Yeah, like why waste time on things that you know
aren't
going to serve you.
Exactly. And the other thing is, you guys, here's the thing. Now, a lot of people think about
casually, like a lot of people are casually dating right now. There's a lot of people I know I hear from who are like, you've been married for 20 years and you just got out of a relationship, a marriage or a long-term thing. And you're like, I don't even know how to date anymore. Like the apps weren't around. People didn't text back when I was dating. You know, I got fixed up with my partner. Like, what do we do? And I think, you know, people are texting more now. They might not talk right away, but if you've met someone and you want to make sure, I think it's okay to pick up the phone and have a call first so you don't waste time. And I also think casually dating a few people is another thing that people don't mm-hmm. realize is that it's okay to date a few people at once. Like, I think people are used to like, well, I met someone, I've gone on a date with someone, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to assume that it's only about the two of us and that they're probably not dating anyone, or maybe it's going to, I should just stick with one person. And I think if you haven't dated in a while, or if you're just starting a date, or wherever you're at, it's okay to be dating several people. And you don't have to feel guilty or bad or weird.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have this notion that we're supposed to put all of our time and our efforts into this one person we just met, but then you're kind of wasting energy on something that might not work out when you could, you know, take things slower with that person and date a couple other people, see which one's giving you the most,
exactly,
that you like, the best stuff that you like.
And I think that's important for everything. Like, I say this often about a therapist. If you're looking for a therapist, I'm like, it's a real relationship you are entering into. It's okay to go see two or three. You're not going to love every therapist, and the same goes for dating. And I also think it's true, though, like, you're not going to like them, right?
No, it's true.
Right.
I'm actually more used to dating multiple people in at once than being in with one person. So what I'm in now is kind of, it's not new to me, but it's been quite some time.
Right. You haven't been juggling.
But I think the thing is about being honest about the fact that you are dating multiple people.
It's okay. Yeah, exactly. I think that the more honest and authentic we are, so this is kind of what I'm telling you now is that be honest with yourself and then be honest with the people you're dating. That mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm seeing other people, and just assume that they probably are too. If you haven't had the conversation about being exclusive with someone, I guarantee it, they're dating other people. So, and then, you know, be real about what kind of relationship you want. Like, if you know, like, I am just looking for casual sex, mm-hmm. or I'm dating other people, or I'm actually looking for a long-term relationship, I'm want to have kids, you know, whatever, you know, like, be clear about that and you know, talk about it right away so we don't waste time. And the other thing that I think that we forget when people are like, going back to like, I'm just throwing out all the things that I've been in my mind about this, is that we often think that we only have to meet someone in a very specific way. Like, either someone introduces us or we meet them on a dating app. But I want you guys to put this in your minds. Be open to meeting people anywhere you go. And then be almost expecting it, because I think now, this is what I've noticed lately, and we've talked about this, Jamie, how we're so on our phones mm-hmm. all the time that we're missing. Like, whenever you walk into a store, like, I was in a waiting room the other day, or getting my tires fixed, like, everyone was staring at their phone. Like, usually in the mm-hmm. back, and you'd be like, back in the day, you'd be like, hey, how you doing? Because you have nothing to do. There's no great magazines in the car shop. There never is. They have, like, car magazines. I don't want to read them. You would just talk to someone because, like, my car's taking longer. But now we have our little entertainment center with us. So we're not meeting people. So you could be at the gym, in line at the grocery store. Doesn't matter. Like, in the subway, like, they're single people. They're in front of you. Just start talking to them. Say hi.
Isn't that how people, like, a lot of times, too, people always want that meet cute thing, whatever happens. Like, you're not going to get that meet cute if you're not being open
to meeting. Yes, exactly. Like, it's just not going to happen if you're, like, shut down. So maybe put the phone down if you're somewhere where you're like, oh, I could meet someone. Or just know that everywhere is potential.
Not that I'm, like, dating right now, but I did actually, there have been a few times when I've been out and I'm, even though I am, like, committed, when I'm, like, at a place by myself, if I'm waiting for a friend or whatever, I did make a conscious effort to put my phone down and not be staring at it.
Oh.
And just to be, like, because one, it makes you feel more comfortable when you're by yourself at places, because I feel like a lot of times people are like, I need a friend. I need something. But kind of just, I envy those people that go out on their own and they just seem content.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do that.
That's
more.
That's good. That's mature.
You know?
And it evolved. I mean, like, I always say that, not like a mature human, but like a mature in our digital, I'm trying to keep my phone outside the bedroom at night. Trying to be mature the way I'm managing my technology. All those things. So I think that's true. Like, we meet, you know, you just meet people out in the world. And if you meet someone that you like, I think ask them out. Like, just do it and let them know, like, be specific. And if you do ask someone out, have a plan in mind. Now, remember this, because we still get emails and questions from people all the time. They're like, why did this person ask me out and not have a plan? Or, like, we all want someone to, like, if you do the asking, think of something to do. And I don't think the date has to be elaborate. I don't think you need to spend a lot of money. You could be creative. Or if you're just the kind of person that wants to meet for coffee and a drink and not commit, that's fine. But, like, have the plan.
Do you ask people out, or have you?
I have not asked anyone out. I'm trying to think if I ever have. No, I haven't. But I would. I've always been in relationships. Or I've met someone and we've mutually liked each other.
Ah.
Have you asked anyone out?
I have.
You have.
I'm very forward.
I know. I love that, everything about you. Forward. It's good. I think that women, and I used to say years ago, no, kind of like you're taking that power away, or men want to be chasing as a whole thing. But I think we all should be asking people. If we find someone interesting, hey, let's go out. Let's do something. Like, follow through if you meet someone, you have that connection. Don't wait for that other person. Mm-hmm. And I hear from men all the time who are like, they hear years later someone liked them and they're like, I wish I knew because I never asked her out, or she was going to ask me out. And this goes for same sex couples, of course, anywhere you are. Like, if you see someone, like, you just be honest. I think we're all really afraid of rejection and being hurt in every situation. And so I think we just can't take it personally. Someone's going to say no to us. And then also, if you are on the apps, or let's say you're on the apps or you're just going on a date. Mm-hmm. This is the other thing that people, I used to get tripped up on this too. And who knows, could happen again. But now that we're talking about it, if you go out with someone on a date and you think it was great and they don't ask you out again, or vice versa, or they don't, yeah. And in your mind, you're feeling like, what did I do wrong? And you're trying to analyze it. Maybe you went on a few dates. If you went on three dates with someone, that should be the end that we hear. Like, we shouldn't talk about it more. You shouldn't think about it. You shouldn't feel bad about yourself. You know, just keep getting back out there again. Like, don't let that weigh you down. The most important thing is to get out, keep dating, and don't keep asking. Like, don't keep thinking, like, what did I do wrong, and obsessed. Because when you are dating and you're in that world, you can feel like, you can just start to feel bad about yourself. Like, there's nobody, why don't people like me? And was it something I said or wore or did? And the truth is, it doesn't matter why you didn't get asked out again. It could be a million reasons, and it's probably not the things that you're worried about.
Exactly. And I think a lot of us, and I used to feel this way, everyone needs to like me.
Yes.
I need everyone that I meet to like me. Otherwise, my life is not fulfilled. And I've had to work to get past that. Because there are so many people on the planet. There's no way. Not everyone's going to like you.
People pleasing. It's true. That's a good point, too. Because on dates, I've done that, too. Like, I think that a lot of times we go into dates as the pleasers. And we're like, I don't even know how I feel about this person that's sitting across from me on this date. I'm just going to try to get them to like me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even paying attention if I like them. Because I want them to like me. And then I'll decide. But when you're on a date, that is such a great time to be super present. And just think, like, how do I feel right now? How is this person making me feel? Like, it's about both of you together. Because I think there'd be a lot less confusion if we did all, like, were present, paid attention to, like, messaging from people and whatever they're making us feel.
Yeah, because you get so hung up on the rejection that you forget to ask yourself, did I even want to date this person?
Would I ever want to see this person again? Do I want to kiss them? Am I attracted to this person? So, and I think one of the most important things, too, is to think about your past. Like, this is an important lesson that I think sometimes we go through breakups and we just, like, are angry or something bad happened and we're like, you know, my ex was an asshole and everyone's an asshole. But I think we do our best learning about ourselves, like, really important lessons we learn in relationships with people. And then when we break up, it's a great time to look at what we've learned. Like, what did I learn from this relationship? What was my part in it? That's a big one, especially if you've been dating for a long time and there's a commonality. Guess what? It's you, right? Not the person. You dated 10 people and every time there's some kind of issue around sex or intimacy or something, you're like, oh, what is my part in it? Because every relationship is 50-50. And I'm going to say it this way, even if someone cheated and did the unthinkable, you have a part in that in some way. Like, in your reaction to it, you didn't make someone cheat on you. People are gonna be like, I swear I was the best person ever. I mean, like, what did you, rather than just being angry that your partner cheated, like, that doesn't mean that the whole relationship was horrible. There's still parts. I mean, the whole, you know what I'm saying? There was probably some good things, and there's still lessons to learn if something really bad happened at the end, is my point.
Definitely.
So it doesn't mean like, oh, but he was just a jerk, or she was a bitch, or whatever it is. So look at that. Like, it's such good. That's why I think it's important to try to not jump right into a relationship when you're single. And it's important to take time to like really learn about who you are again, single, and then what you want once you get back out there. Mm-hmm. And I used to not do that because I felt like I would go from one to the next because I didn't like being alone. And then I realized, wait, who the hell is Emily without a man? Like, who am I in the world? So then I would take that time. And then it was a lot clearer when I started dating again, like, what the hell do I want? All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, your calls.
We have Melissa, 51, in your home state of Michigan. And she's having a hard time getting out of her head while having sex.
Okay. Hey, Melissa from Michigan.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling. Is it cold there right now?
Yes.
I know. Now I'm going to be in my head about that, thinking, I'm so glad I'm not there right now. But okay, tell me what's going on, Melissa.
Well, you know, I have a great husband, and I do have a really good sex life. But I cannot orgasm unless I'm like doing it myself and I'm out of my head, because I can't shut my brain off because I'm thinking of everything else, and God forbid if he tries to touch me anywhere while I'm trying to do something, or he tries to do it because he like gets frustrated, not like in a mad way, but he would love to be able to help me do it, but I can't. I'm almost like a control freak.
Right,
like,
okay.
You know what?
I totally get it. So sometimes what's happening is, you're saying during, when you guys are actually having sex and he tries to touch you, or just when he tries to touch you, you're saying, right, during sex, he'll try to like help you have the orgasm? Hello? Hi, can you hear me?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yeah.
Okay, Melissa, we're still going. Okay, so is this like, so when you're having sex and he tries to touch you or help you along, you're like, no, I've got this? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is really common.
Or if I'm doing it myself and he tries to touch me in any other area, I'm like, oh, don't do that because I can't think of you doing that while I'm trying to do this.
Right. Okay. So you like you have a very specific way that you orgasm. And you do not.
Yeah.
Right. So there's that. So you're in your head. So, but you can orgasm. Because there's two. Because you asked me about two that you. Right. That can you orgasm? So it's only on your own with your hands?
Yes.
So not during intercourse?
No.
Okay.
Never.
Okay. I got it.
That's, unfortunately.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's common. It's very common for women. Only 30% of women have had orgasms during intercourse without a lot of clitoral stimulation. And even then, you know, not every time. So, I mean, there's really nothing wrong here. But what I would say is, if you want to get out of your head and be in the moment, the best thing to do is to be more mindful, like a mindfulness practice. And what I mean by that is, you know, I know mindfulness is all the buzz, you know, I'm not going to make you go like sit on top of a mountaintop and meditate for hours. But what I want to say is that when you think of it this way, when you're in your head and you're like, oh my God, he's going to touch me in a weird way, or did I turn off the curling iron, or someone to come in, or the kids, you know, our brain is going crazy. That means that the blood is leaving our genitals and it's going to our brains. And so we can no longer be in our bodies. And so a great mindfulness practice is to, in the moment when that's happening, think about, so your brain's going, oh God, why is he touching me? Go to what you're feeling in the moment. So engage all your senses. So what are you smelling? Maybe it's the candle you lit. And what are you tasting? Maybe it's like his lips when you tasted him. Or maybe it's the glass of wine you just had. And what are you listening to? It's the music. So how does his skin feel underneath you? And so when you ground yourself into your senses, then you are in the present moment. There's nothing else that can distract you because you're there. And then your brain's going to come back and going, but wait, what about this? And then you're going, no, I'm going to go back to what I'm smelling, what I'm hearing, what I'm tasting. And the more you do that practice and you bring yourself back to the moment, you'll be more in touch with your body and what you feel, and more likely to orgasm and be more open to maybe his touches.
All right, I'm going to try it.
Okay, please do. You got this. Try something different tonight. Really? You know, be open to it. When you're masturbating too, you can experiment with like a lot of this practice that can help you. So you got this, Melissa. Try it out. stay warm this winter in
Michigan
and practice having some great sex.
Richard, 55, in Illinois, his wife rathers a vibrator than sex.
Hey, Richard.
Hey.
Hey, okay. So your wife prefers a vibrator over you, is what you're saying. Tell me more about this.
Well, after she had our son, a couple years later, she ended up having a hysterectomy.
Okay.
I mean, that all the drive and everything went out the window after that.
Does she have, her sex drive went out the window, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I finally got her to start using the vibrator, then I found one she really likes, and that's all she wants now.
Okay. Well, I think, does she still, are you guys still intimate? Like, do you still, you know, is there still foreplay and kissing and touching?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Do you guys use it together?
I use it, and I usually like to tease her enough to where she'll take it to it herself.
Okay.
To that point, and then, you know, she's masturbating me, or however you want to say it.
Oh, okay. So I think
I'm just trying to figure out how to get back into the other part of it.
Right. So she's not even letting you enter her, if you will.
Right.
So you haven't had intercourse, but your penis goes into her vagina, is what you're saying?
Not for quite a while.
Okay. But now, is this vibrator you got, or is it like a, is it a insertion vibrator, or is it a clitoral vibe?
It's a clitoral vibe.
Okay. So the thing is, she might just have to, you know, she might have had some pain with the hysterectomy or some other, like, you know, stuff that's happened since then where she might, you know, need some easing back into it. Because the truth is, using a clitoral vibe during intercourse can feel amazing. So I think that that would be, you know, as your wife, you guys have been together, that it would be great, you know, not to shame her about it, but to be like, hey, babe, I miss, like, I want to be inside of you and feel it. We could still use the toy. That's how a lot of women orgasm, like so many women, because they need that extra clitoral stimulation during intercourse. So I think if you let her know, like, not in the bedroom, not when it's happening, not in the moment, and not even right after you guys have sex or don't have sex, as it were, if afterwards you guys talk when you're, like, you know, having breakfast or you're in a comfortable place, when you're relaxed, say, hey, you know, I love you, and I really love having sex with you, and I, you know, what could we do here? Let's try to figure out something else that works. It's really important to me to feel connected.
Okay. Makes sense.
Good, yeah. Sometimes it's the way we say it, you know?
She never had our son. She had a C-section, so everything's kind of like shrunk down.
Yeah, she had a C-section. She's got some pain. She had a hysterectomy. And if she's having pain, she should go talk to her doctor or pelvic floor specialist. There's a lot going on, but first have the talk with her. Thank you so much for calling, Richard.
We are really running the age gamut, as you said. We're going to go to Steve. He's 71 in Pennsylvania and has a question about oral sex.
All right. That's right, Steve. Keep it going. Hi.
Hi, Emily.
Hey, Steve.
Thanks for taking my my question. And your mother's adorable.
She is. She's the best. Thank you.
Well, what I'm calling about is I really am not. I'm kind of impartial about oral sex for me, but my wife is kind of difficult as far as allowing me to perform oral sex on her.
Okay.
We're both health professionals, and she just has some hang-ups about possibilities of infection, I think, is one thing.
Okay.
And I have talked with her a number of times about it, but I just can't seem to break that barrier.
Hmm.
I'm very willing to do that for her, but she doesn't want me to do it.
Okay.
That's the bottom line.
How long have you guys been together?
43 years,
and you've never performed oral sex on her?
Oh, yeah, for sure, but it's something that I would like to do more often, and she's just very reluctant about it.
Okay. I mean, the truth is, did she like it 40 years ago, or it's never been her jam, her thing?
I think she didn't dislike it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Whether I did everything the proper way and everything, but I just...
It's a process.
I know.
Well, here,
yeah, it's a process.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I mean, you can't force anyone, right? You can't be like, I'm going to do it. But she might need to... So if she is concerned, though, about health concerns, which I'm not sure if you guys are monogamous and you're together, there shouldn't be a lot of health concerns, although she could, you could use a dental dam. If you guys are health professionals, you know that. And for a lot of women, it's kind of like a condom, right? So you can even make one out of a condom. You just cut it in half, and it's like a piece of like latex or, you know, some kind of material you put over her vulva when you are performing oral sex on her. So that's a way to keep it safe from getting any diseases or bacteria or anything like that. But the other thing is, does she like manual stimulation?
No problem that way.
Okay. So maybe you could just try, like, you know, for some women, though, to be honest, they're too sensitive. It doesn't feel great, but maybe you have to ease into it. Or, like, you could, again, try the dental dam. She could, you know, you could both use your fingers and then just see, you know. I think if that's really the problem, use a dental dam. And maybe she hasn't had it in so long, or maybe she has some fears around, maybe she feels like it tastes weird, or you don't really want to do it, but it sounds like you do. So if you let her know how important it is to you and how much it turns you on, you know, she might just be surprised and let you do it. Like, she's like, oh, I didn't realize that. You know what I'm saying? She might not know that this is really something that you so much want to do, and it might make her feel like, oh, he really wants to do it. I'm going to settle in and try it. I haven't tried it in 30 years. She might be like, oh, yeah, oral sex is the best. Like, I can't live without it, you know? But women call all the time, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's not my thing, because some women are super sensitive. So I say maybe reintroduce it with low pressure. Like, this might take you bringing it up a few times, not in a nagging way, but in like, babe, I've been thinking, or I have fantasies about going down on you, and I just heard about this thing, the dental dam we could use, and you know what I mean? Kind of get her warmed up to it again. But if she says no, maybe you guys could try some other things. But I think maybe, yeah, it's been a while. She, and again, if you let her know how enthusiastic you are and you want to try it and you've got some ideas to make it fun for her, then see what she says. And
very good. I appreciate your help.
You're so welcome. That's thanks, great. Steve.
Okay, we have Jim, who's 52 in Indiana, and he wants to know what is a huge debate if squirting is like peeing.
Oh, God. Okay. Hey, Jim. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Hey. Good. How are you?
Good. Okay, squirting.
My wife is extremely good at squirting.
Great.
She's just all over me, and I just want to know if it's pee or not.
Well, okay.
I hear so many different things.
I know. So you hear, like, there's traces of urine from the periurethral glands. You hear that it's partially urine. But here's what I want to say to you. It might, yes, there is some urine in it. I'm not going to tell you there's not. Is it all urine? No, it's not. But I also don't think it matters. Like, sex is messy, sex is dirty.
To me, but I was just curious.
You're curious. Curiosity, yes. It's not all urine. No, but there is some urine in it. So it's true. I mean, there are times you could empty your bladder completely and still squirt, which has happened to me, happened to Jamie, a lot of women I know. So it's not completely urine, no. It's periurethral fluid, which is kind of like the prostate, but in women, and that's where it comes. Like, all these studies they've done, they showed there are traces of urine and other things too. But I'm glad you're in a happily squirting lifestyle.
Even if it was, I don't think I would make her stop.
Good. See, that's what I like to hear. Just throw down some old beach towels and have a good time.
Exactly.
Right?
Thank you very much.
You got it. Okay, Jim, thank you for calling. Let's just talk about squirting, huh? No, squirting is funny because I have to say that squirting was something that did not come up 15 years ago. And I do believe with porn being so ubiquitous that we're just seeing squirting everywhere. And that's like everyone wants to know, like, how do I squirt? How do I get my partner to squirt? Is it real? Is it not? And it is a thing that we can learn. Women can learn to squirt, but it is something that happens from penetration to the G-spot, repeated penetration, but also using like a vibrator on your pubic mound, like the magic wand for me has done that over like my pubic mound because it's indirect stimulation to the G-spot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that has been a squirting thing for me too. And yeah, you can learn to do it typically with a finger or a toy or a partner. And having strong Kegel muscles can actually help. Having control of your pelvic floor and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I only recently, I want to say a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, realized that I could do it. And now it happens fairly regularly with my partner. However, it's funny because I have to remind my partner, I'm like, just because I didn't squirt doesn't mean I didn't orgasm. Because it doesn't. And sometimes when I do squirt, I have to tell him to keep going because I'm like, that I did not orgasm yet, but yeah. I'm close.
So true. Same with me. That's so good. You got to give advice. Yeah. You got to let him know that it doesn't actually. It's true. Women can squirt and not orgasm. And obviously we can orgasm without squirting. And sometimes you do squirt with orgasm. It's just.
It's the luck of the draw.
It's the luck of the draw. But you can, you know, it is a partner. You could learn with your partner. Take it on as a new hobby. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.